Stickered Up, the official podcast of the Cars Tour, is on the air. Presented by Puryear Tank Lines. The Cars Tour, the premier late model stock series. Short track racing at its very best. Stickered Up will feature A-list guests, the hottest topics, race previews, recaps, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If it happens on the Cars Tour, Stickered Up is chewing on it. Here's your host, Stephen Dunn.
Happy race week, everyone. Stephen Dunn, Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast for the Z-Max Cars Tour presented by Sound Gear. And we go into the third consecutive week of racing action for the Cars Tour. This weekend, they will visit the Orange County Speedway for the first time in 2 years. Pro late models and late model stocks will be on the track. Before we dive into this weekend's festivities, we've got to recap. We've got to go back to Jacksonville, North Carolina, the National 250 at New River All-American Speedway, which was an epic event in a lot of ways. The Dale Jr. effect was in full effect, and what a race they put on. We go to our friends at Flow for the recap.
And into the Death Wish Coffee start zone comes Brendan Queen, and we are racing for 125 laps here at New River. Being on your toes as a spotter is going to be something that you have to do, as he almost got to call Britt Cruz three wide with Bobby McCarty.
Yeah, one thing that Cruz has to watch here is
two
wide, as McCarty may have cut him a break there, lifting out of the throttle off turn two to not make that a precarious spot for the front runners.
112 laps to go. New leader at the front of the field. It is the sixth of Bobby McCarty. And indeed we do. Minnie Tyrrell, the number 81, leads his first lap since Florence Motor Speedway a year ago. A little bit of contact. Huffman gets sideways. You can imagine what happens after that. 46 laps could go into the Death Wish Coffee restart zone. Tyrrell, clean launch at the front of the field. Time for saving may very well be over. Side-by-side drag race down the back straightaway. They duke it out for the race lead. Queen with a nose in front off the corner. He may have it. 30 laps to go here at New River All-American Speedway. McCarty, Tyrrell, Hall, and Quapple surging towards the front of the field. Who gets back to win this one?
As Tyrrell closes to win in two car lengths, two laps to go.
Two car lengths separate your top two. Katie Hettinger, the last bit of lap traffic that these two will have to fend with. It's down to a car length off of turn two. Tyrrell catches the 71 in a precarious position, but they'll come around this time. 124 laps. This is the last one. White flag in the air. One more trip around New River All-American Speedway. Is it McCarty, Tyrrell, or Connor Hall? McCarty with a car length over Tyrrell into 3 and 4. A big send out of the 81, but it's not going to be enough. Bobby McCarty is back in Z-Max Cars Tour victory lane.
Bobby McCarty, your winner over Minnie Tyrrell. Connor Hall was third. Traven Lefowich was fourth. Carson Quapple, fifth. Chad McCombie, sixth. Ron Millington, seventh. Landon Lewis, eighth. Andrew Grady with his best run of 2024. He came home ninth. Isabella Robusto in her return to Cars Tour late model stock car competition with Lee Pulley Performance with a solid 10th place finish. Again, 25 cars took the green flag, and man, it was an exciting race. A lot of comers, a lot of goers. We had 10 lead changes amongst six drivers, and again, Bobby McCarty, your winner, his first win of 2024. And taking a quick look at the points as we head to Orange County Speedway this Saturday night, late model stock cars after three races, Connor Hall still your leader, a mere 5 points in front of Minnie Tyrrell, who had a second place finish this past weekend. Race winner Bobby McCarty, he's 6 markers back in third. Traven Lefowich, he's 15 points back in fourth. Brett Cruz is fifth, tied with Brendan Queen. Both of those gentlemen, 20 markers back. Chad McCombie, seventh. He's 22 markers back. Carson Quapple, despite missing a race, he's still eighth in points, 29 markers back. He is also tied with Ryan Millington. And then rounding out the top 10, Cade Brown, 35 points out of the lead in the late model stock car after three events. Brandon Willard has the caution flag out on this first segment of Stickered Up. We'll take this opportunity to come down pit road. Sticker up. We return. We will talk to the winner of this past weekend's National 250, Bobby McCarty. You're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. Premier Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Purrier has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Purrier driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Purrier racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivepurrier.com to learn more.
For laser cutting and CNC bending, GeoCut for media blasting and surface conditioning. GeoCut, South Boston, Virginia, for powder coating. GeoCut, on-demand laser cut parts. Just go to geocutfabrication.com. Upload your part drawing. Select the material and quantity and then see your instant quote immediately with the option to order right then and there. 434-201-4824. GeoCutFabrication.com. 611 Railroad Avenue, South Boston, Virginia. One part or 1 million parts. GeoCut has you covered.
What's up, everybody? It's Keely with the Car Store, and you're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast with Stephen Dunn.
Green flag back in the air this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast for the ZMAX Cars Tour presented by Sound Gear. Joining us via the GSX Raps Hotline, the most recent winner on the late model stock car side this past Saturday night at New River All-American Speedway. He's no stranger to the Stickered Up Podcast. It's Mr. Bobby McCarty. Bobby, welcome back to the Stickered Up Podcast.
What's up, man? Thank you all for having me back on.
Well, the first question I asked is, were you still sober? I mean, y'all partied down on Saturday night after you got done, man. First and foremost, congratulations on the win. I got to ask you, before we go into the race, I got to ask you about the Dale Jr. effect that these races tend to have, right? Obviously, you've been in big races in your career, Martinsville, the North Wilkesboro races the last couple of years, but talk a little bit about what the scene in Jacksonville was like for you on Saturday afternoon when these people started filing in.
Man, it was crazy. I've never seen a racetrack where there was 10 rows of people standing at the fence just to be able to watch. And that is not an exaggeration. I mean, it was literally 10 rows of people. People stood the whole night to watch that race. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Bobby, I mean, do you think, I mean, obviously we talk about Dale Jr., who owns the Cars Tour, but what does that do for you? Does that get you motivated? I mean, obviously you were able to win your first race of the year, but like when you have that kind of crowd, and everybody will obviously say that they weren't there. I'm not saying there weren't a lot of fans to see Bobby McCarty race, but we know why the majority of those people. But what is it like to race in front of a crowd like that, and especially to win like you did on Saturday night?
It's crazy, man. You know, we don't get to race in front of crowds that big often. So when we do, it makes it that much more special, you know, when you win. But it was a madhouse, honestly, man. Like, we did the victory lane stuff, and then I went to pull in the tech, and there's like 500 people standing there. I'm like, oh, hell, I didn't got some fans. And then I realized it was all around Junior's car. I was like, oh, God, never mind. but it's just different, man. I mean, it's a ton of people, you know, and that's – I really believe that's all the Car Store – that's the only change we really need. It was just a bigger platform to race on. And when you get that many fans, I think they said with Flood Racing it was like 50,000 total or some crazy number. But when you can put on a show in front of that many people, you know, not just the people at the racetrack, but the ones watching on Flow and everything else, I mean, it's really cool when you actually get time to sit down and go through social media and see all the posts and, you know, all the stuff that went down that you couldn't really see from the infield. I mean, it's just entirely different. You know, I had that same feel like when we went to Wilkesboro the first time and we're standing on the front stretch and we're about yelling at each other to talk to each other because just the crowd noise was so loud you could barely hear each other talk. I mean, it's just crazy, man. It's really cool for us late model guys. You know, none of us are – well, for me for sure, but I feel like the majority of us aren't used to that much crowd attention. It's just, I mean, we do have good crowds, but generally a good crowd for us is 7,000 or 8,000 people, not 15 plus, you know? So, yeah. it's really cool to win in front of a crowd like that. It's still just hard to – it's hard to put – I mean, really, the whole weekend for me was just – it was a really weird weekend. And I'm super, super thankful that we won it.
Chatting with Bobby McCarty, the winner at New River All-American Speedway this past Saturday night on the Stickered Up podcast. And Bobby, it was a very it was what we expected. A lot of comers, a lot of goers. We had six different leaders, 10 lead changes. You led 49 laps. You led the most laps, and obviously led the most important one, which was lap 125. But you made the transition to R&S race cars a year ago. You did get the win at Dominion. How important is this win for you? If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if you tied or you passed Deke for second all time on Cars Tour wins. I know that I heard Flo talk about that, and I couldn't catch if you tied or if you actually took the lead and moved into second. But race three of 2024, obviously you're running for your fourth championship. How big of a momentum is the win on Saturday night?
It's really big, man. You know, and this whole sport's a momentum-based sport. And, you know, I felt we ended last year with really good momentum. We was finishing top three almost every weekend. And we fired off kind of the same way. I had some misfortune at Kenley, but was still able to rebound to a top 10. And had a good run at Orange, good run at Hickory, and you know, then to win at Jackson. I mean, we're firing off right where we need to be, you know. Marcus and Triplett and I talk, you know, last year was kind of a building year for us. You know, we've all worked together for a really long time, but we all had to kind of get reacquainted with each other. We all kind of was doing things a little different than we used to together. And, you know, we kind of joked and call it growing pains, even though we've been working together for the last almost 10 years. But, you know, I just felt like last year was the year that we kind of got all our ducks in a row. You know, I learned a lot more driving these cars now. I mean, it's way different than it used to be. It's way harder, a lot more technical. And same for the chassis side. Like, it's very technical on how close these cars have to be. So last year was kind of a building year for us. And this year, you know, we're firing off where I felt like, you know, where I feel like we should be. Contending for wins, running top five, you know, the stuff you have to do to win a championship. So to go ahead and get the first win out the way is kind of a sigh of relief, because that's always the hardest one to get, the first one of the year. And then after that, you know, you can kind of, I wouldn't say they come easy, but, you know, you just don't have as much bad luck getting in your way. So to break ice and do it on the third race is really important. Definitely give us a shot in the arm, you know, looking at the point standing. So it's good, man. Like, it's I feel like this is how we used to run, you know, back when we was winning championships. So we're all really pumped up, man. We're excited to go to the racetrack.
Bobby, let me ask you this. A little bit different dynamic for R&S race cars in 2024. Obviously, you drove that house car last year, added a teammate that didn't start running Cars Tour races till middle of the year in Logan Clark. But, you know, now Logan's running full-time Cars Tour alongside you out of that R&S stable, and then you add a veteran like Deke McCaskill to that trio of drivers that come in R&S prepared race cars each and every week. Has that helped you, having someone such as Deke to bounce ideas off? And because, you know, you got, you know, between the two of you, you've got, you know, close to 30 Cars Tour wins, you've got four championships, and just a wealth of laps around a lot of these racetracks that we go to. Talk a little bit about that dynamic.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Honestly, like Logan and I are really, really good friends. Not just at the racetrack. We do a lot of stuff together outside of the racetrack. And him and his mom, Vicky, they're great people. And the same with Deke. I've never, you know, Deke and I have always talked, but we've never done anything other, you know, than race together. And you know, we did a little mini vacation earlier this year, with Deke and his fam, Sandy and Ashlyn and all his whole family. And, it's been really fun away from the racetrack, but then at the racetrack too, like he's taught me a lot already. You know, everybody knows Deke is one of the, if not the best at running the top at a lot of these racetracks. And he's one of the best at Orange and Kenley. We can go on and on, but you know, Deke and I have bounced a lot of ideas off each other, from a standpoint setup to driving the track different, or, you know what I mean? Like we share, there's nothing that we don't share between the three of us.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to bounce those ideas off each other. Even Logan, I mean, he's still kind of a rookie, but considering the amount of time he has behind the wheel of one of these cars, I mean, he's really, really smart. And his feedback's getting better and better every weekend. And that's a big thing with driving one of these cars. So, you know, we all three always end up getting together after every practice or during the practice. And we're, you know, we changed this and it did that and I'm fighting this and, or I did this with my groove and it helped or whatever. I mean, there's just a ton of information being passed between the three of us. And it really, every little bit helps. And, you know, you got to, I think it's kind of the missing piece for us. You know what I mean? Like we got all the right people, all the right drivers. I mean, everything is lined up for us this year to be a really, really good year. And I feel like we're showing that already. You know, Deke run 30, Ken Lee had some bad luck these past couple races here. But, you know, we have the speed that we need to go contend for wins and run for championships. And then the knowledge and experience that we all have together. I mean, there's no excuse for us this year. You know, I mean, we have a ton of weight on our shoulders just because we know we have Marcus has put together the perfect combination from crew members to spotters to drivers to, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for us not to perform. And I like that pressure.
Yeah. Bobby, before we get into this weekend's trip to a racetrack that you've been really good at over the years in Orange County Speedway, I do want to talk a little bit about a year ago and you know, people in the industry knew. I don't know that, you know, you didn't broadcast it or whatnot, but man, you raced injured, you raced hurt pretty much all of 2023 with a shoulder injury. Know you had surgery in the off season. Man, it's got to be a world of difference getting in that race car now as opposed to a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a learning curve. You know, last year I lost a lot of strength in my right arm from just my shoulder not being where it was supposed to be. And I had to learn to do a lot of stuff different in the car. I worked solely with my left arm after that point, but still not 100%. I'm still struggling with a couple things. Like, for one, get my suit off. I cannot get my suit off to save my life. I can't reach behind me that far yet. But it was an experience, man, and I hated to do it because I don't want to go to the racetrack if I'm not 100%. But at the same time, I just don't feel like you can afford to miss races because you're just going to get behind on the competition side of it. So still working the kinks out this year. I feel a lot better inside the car. A lot more comfortable, and I don't feel like I'm wearing myself out as bad just, you know, playing hurt. But it's been an experience, man, and I thought, considering, you know, what I had going on last year, and I didn't really want to advertise it because I wasn't making excuses, you know, that's not really who I am. But, you know, it did suck. There was a few races where I really questioned if I was going to make it to the end of it. And it was just draining. It really took a lot out of me last year. But this year we're firing off good. Like I said, I'm not 100%, but I'm way better than I was last year. So that's a big positive.
Chatting with Bobby McCarty here on the GSX Wraps Hotline Stickered Up Podcast. And Bobby, headed back to Orange County Speedway this Saturday night, and a track that you've already raced here in 2024 in the Ward Burton Orange Crush 200 a few weeks ago. A dominating performance until the invert. And then, you know, everybody else, you know, you inverted the top eight or you drew the top eight. And basically you finished that segment halfway in the lead, pretty much dominated the first half of the race. And you drew an eight and everybody else kind of just moved up one spot and kind of put you behind the eight ball a little bit. Obviously don't have to worry about an invert this weekend, but this has got to be a race that you guys, especially Marcus Richmond, I know how important this racetrack is for him kind of a home track for him as well. I know that Caden Honeycutt, who's not an R&S driver but affiliated with R&S, I know he's been licking his chops to get back here to Orange County as well, who actually won that Orange Crush 200. Talk about your expectations and what you hope to achieve here on Saturday night.
Honestly, I don't know what to expect. And that was kind of the really bad part about the redraw for the Orange Crush was Orange County is not my greatest racetrack. I like it. It's fun. It's fast. It's got character. But I've always struggled there for whatever reason. At the Orange Crush, I was not struggling. Like, I was on my game. The car was there. Everything was shaping out to be the way it was supposed to be until I picked that can up. But I don't know what to expect. Like I said, up until that race a couple weeks ago, I wasn't that. I just don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm really pumped up. I want some redemption. I kind of got a chip on my shoulder. I got something to prove. Because if we wouldn't have drew that eight, that whole race would have played out differently.
Yeah.
I got that chip on my shoulder, you know, and especially after coming off a win as big as the one we just had. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit. I'm ready to get to the racetrack. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping, we can show up with just as fast as a race car and that the driver shows up and drives the way he's supposed to. We'll see how it goes, man. I mean, I've been really, really pleased with the speed we've showed this year. So I'm not worried. I'm just ready to get there.
I do have a question that's more of a technical question. Obviously, at the Ward Burton race, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you guys ran the F45s. Cars Tour obviously made the change to the new S2 tire, which will run this weekend. Are there things that you can take away from your performance, you know, a month ago? I mean, again, that's me not being the technical guy. How different are the tires, and how does that, you know, affect what you guys do potentially setup wise?
So at places like Orange County, where you just have a ton of wheel load from the racetrack itself, there's not much difference. Just because, you know, the sidewalls in these tires are stiffer, the compound's a little bit harder. All that does is just make it harder to get the actual tire to grip into the racetrack. But at a place like Orange County, the speed and the banking is going to do it for you. So it's not – this weekend, it won't change that much for us. We actually back-to-backed it a couple weeks ago, and, I mean, we had to make a couple small changes, but nothing – we didn't have to rebuild the race car switching from the 45 to the ST2. So places like Orange County, Dominion, you know, that you have a high speed, high grip kind of combination and you really set the tire in the track, you're not really going to see much difference. But like when we go to places like Langley, I know it sounds crazy, but South Boston doesn't necessarily generate a lot of wheel load. Those are going to be the questionable tracks just because the tire's going to sit more on top of the racetrack. So then we got to figure out how to get it more in the racetrack. But this weekend won't be much change for us, I don't believe. I could be wrong, but the first test we did this year, we actually took 45s and ST2s when we went to Orange County. And they was pretty similar, just a little bit slower. But as far as balance-wise, you know, it wasn't nothing crazy. So I'm not expecting nothing major. But I've been wrong before, so we'll just see how that goes, too.
Yeah, these first couple of races that we've run, you know, low grip, older asphalt, definitely tire management. How much of that goes into how you call a race or how Triplett calls a race at Orange County? 125 laps. It's not the 200 laps, obviously, that we ran a couple of weeks ago, but 125 laps at Orange County. Do you have to save some tire there early on to have something at the finish?
The biggest thing with Orange County is just it's really hard to pass, especially if that very top groove through 3 and 4 gets to working. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed to pass somebody without almost using them up. So it's kind of one of those deals, like we just have to get there, see how the racetrack is racing, which grooves are fast and which grooves aren't. And, you know, at that point, you just got to make your mind up quick. You know, if it's hard to pass, then, you know, you need to be out front and then just manage your gap. But, you know, if you can drop down and make passes, then, you know, you can drop back and save a little bit if you feel like you need to and then make a run at the end. So it really just really depends on how the racetrack is going to race. The Orange Crush, it raced really, really good. I mean, you could make moves on the bottom or the top, and I didn't feel like it was top lane dependent. But this weekend could be different. You know, we won't know until we get there. But, you know, we'll play that out as we go, which is kind of how we do every weekend. We really don't have a set game plan on, you know, how we're going to race. Once the green flag drops, we kind of get in the race, feel it out, see, you know, how the racetrack's actually responding and what other competitors are doing what. And then, you know, we make our best educated guess of what we think, you know, will give us the best opportunity to put up a good finish and just kind of go from there.
Bobby, one thing that most of our fans probably don't know or aware of, but you guys will leave Orange County on Saturday after three straight weeks of racing, but the it's not over. There's a tire test at North Wilkesboro the following Wednesday, next Wednesday, for competitors that will compete on the new asphalt at North Wilkesboro in the, you know, middle of May. Talk a little bit about your thoughts about heading back to North Wilkesboro with basically a whole different racing surface than what you guys have run the last 2 years.
Yeah, so that should be interesting.
yeah.
And you know, we just, I mean, other than the three guys that got to go, I mean, nobody else really knows what to expect. You know, we don't know what gear to run. We don't know what our ride heights need to be, our down numbers. I mean, we don't know anything. So we're going to spend, you know, probably the first half of the day just getting our mechanics right on the car. And then, you know, we can start digging into actually trying to find some speed. So hopefully, you know, I feel like the rest of the field's kind of a little bit behind the eight ball here, but, you know, we'll get there and work as fast as we can. And hopefully, you know, we unload pretty close, but it's going to be different, man. You know, new asphalt's always kind of tricky to get going. And then with the new tire on top of that, a stiffer tire, you know, the stiffer tire and the new asphalt. And this is one of those racetracks that you just don't get a ton of wheel load. So it's going to be challenging to figure it out, you know, and, you know, hopefully we figure out quicker than anybody else, because that'll just make our job so much easier. But I'm looking forward to it in a sense. I like the old pavement. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I didn't see it coming apart or anything. So I'm kind of confused on the repave. But, you know, it's still the same racetrack with all the same history that it had before. And, you know, it's a special place for us to go to. So I definitely want to go to the test and you know, be ready to go to work and figure it out quick. So hopefully we can have a good show on, you know, once that race shows up, because that's another big event for us, with it being the All-Star Week when we go there. So, you know, it's just one of those races that we have circled, and I'd love to get a win there. That's one that, there in Martinsville. I'd love to win both of those this year. That'd be a great year.
Well, you get two chances at North Wilkesboro, obviously the mid-May during All-Star Week, and then obviously the season finale will be at North Wilkesboro. When it came out that the new asphalt was being paved and laid, and I made the assumption, and I don't know, I could be off in left field here, but I feel like that the race in May and the race in October will be two completely different races. Do you have any thoughts on that as far as how that may come about, just because not having a ton of asphalt, not having a ton of laps in race cars at this point, but then once you guys get out there, the pros get out there, modifieds get out there, trucks, you know, cup cars, do you feel like that is enough seasoning to where it'll race different in October as opposed to May?
I really hope so. you know, and that's the other concern with new asphalt is it's going to be a one lane racetrack.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously the more races that we can have on it throughout the year is just going to make the racing better, which I hope they drag some tires or put in a little work so that way it's not so lane dependent. But, you know, it will be interesting to see. It'll definitely be warmer when we go the first time compared to the second time. So all that stuff will change, you know, how the racetrack's responding and how it's taking rubber. So, you know, it's just a lot of unknowns, and, you know, you just don't know how the asphalt's going to react to heat and, you know, if it's going to take the rubber, if the rubber's going to sit on top of it. I mean, you just don't know. So it's a lot to learn in a really short amount of time. But, you know, we'll play it by ear and just, you know, like I said, hopefully our dump trucks will keep showing the speed that they're showing and we can just go there and, you know, have a good solid top five run, maybe, you know, win the race. But, you know, like I said, we'll just have to see, man. It's a lot of unknowns. And, you know, like even when we race, you know, the pros are going to have a different tire compound than what we're going to have. The modifiers are going to be different. The top three series are going to be, I mean, it's just going to be a lot of different rubber getting put down. And that's another question mark too. You don't know if all that rubber is going to mix and, you know, just give the track grip or if it's going to get greasy. I mean, there's just so many things that are going to go into that race that you just don't, I mean, you're literally going to be making educated guess. You know what I mean? Like there's no, I don't really feel like there's a clear cut way you need to be. Nobody knows yet. You know, even with the tire test, I mean, it was just them there with, you know, basically two or three different kinds of compound or two different kinds of compounds. You know, it's not going to be like, you know, when we go back to actually practice or race. So, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, question marks to how this is actually going to play out. But, you know, we're up for the challenge. And I'm 100% behind my guys. They're doing great work. They're putting out really fast cars. So, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Well, before I let you go, I have to ask you the question. Your most popular driver, campaign manager, Boo Carlisle, you and him do a segment every race weekend after the race called Beers with Bobby. And something that you guys started a year ago, and I think it's kind of caught something. You guys have a beer sponsor, which I think is awesome. Kudos to Seth up at Two Burrows for hooking you guys up with some, you know, frosty adult beverages after the race. And I know it was an exciting Beers with Bobby this past, you know, Saturday night at New River. But you guys are staging is it a flip cup? Flip cup competition at Orange County on Saturday. Is this after the race or is this before the race? Hopefully after for your sake.
Yeah, definitely don't. I don't want to be dehydrated before I get in the car, but yep, after the race, we're going to have a flip cup tournament. There might be a chance you can get a customized solo cup with my race car on it. Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. This Boo's a great guy, man. I mean, he's one of the best guys I've ever met. I mean, he's down to earth, super fun to hang out with. He really thinks we're going to win most popular driver. I keep telling him he's crazy, but he seems to think it's going to happen. So, y'all remember, you know, when it's time to vote, you know, just at least, you know, give me one vote. I'd appreciate that. But, I'm looking forward to this weekend. You know, him and Aaron, they both have some really cool ideas that they keep throwing out that, you know, some I'm not entirely comfortable with, but, you know, I'm learning this whole podcast deal as we go and being a little bit more comfortable in front of the camera. So it's an experience, man. And it's cool to do it with somebody like Boo because he's him, whether there's a camera around or not. You know what I mean? And
100%.
Really good to learn from, you know, because he just don't clam up or anything, you know, when the camera gets turned on. So he's really, I mean, you can kind of match his energy really, really easy when you're doing this stuff. And I think it's helped me a lot, you know, when it comes to the interviews and all that kind of stuff, just because I don't get so, I mean, you need to be serious, but you just don't want to be a billboard driver. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So he's kind of helped me with that quite a bit, him and Aaron both. So I appreciate everything they're doing and the time and the work that they're putting in to do all these videos and stuff. I mean, I really look like I'm somebody watching these videos. Like, it's crazy the stuff they're doing, and just how cool it's all turning out. Like, it's an experience, man, which, I mean, you know, this whole thing is, it's just all one big experience, but it's been fun. Like, I've learned a lot, and met some really cool people doing this stuff after the race. You know, the fans have come and hang out, and had a couple beers, and, you know, all that stuff. So it's been really cool, man. Like, I've really, really enjoyed it. And like I said, just the people that's been coming and doing it with us. I'm still waiting for you to show up. I don't know where you've been, but
I'll be there Saturday night for sure. I should have actually come down there this past Saturday after you won, because it's not like we were going anywhere, because we sat in line to get out of the racetrack for the better part of 30 minutes. So I probably should have just come and had a beer. I was going to ask, I don't think I haven't actually watched the episode, but did you guys invite Junior to come over and drink beers with Bobby on Saturday night, or was he disappointed in his 14th place finish?
So we did invite him.
Okay.
But he was, you know, in the middle of what looked like a rave party. he wasn't able to get over there, but we reached out to him. I thought it'd been really cool if he'd come over here, but, you know, I mean, we understand, you know, he just gets put in a different spotlight when he comes to do this stuff. But we definitely, after the race was over, every time I turned around, somebody was handing me a beer, and, you know, before we knew it, we was in it pretty good there. But you know, it was cool, man. Like, you know, a lot of the guys that I raced with was coming up, you know, handing me a beer, saying good job, and, you know, stuff like that. So it was really cool to see the respect, and you know, your competitors happy to see you win is a really cool thing as a driver. I mean, it really means a lot. You know, it's one thing for them to say it, but to see, you know, their facial expression and see that they genuinely mean it. You know what I mean? It just kind of makes you feel a different way, you know, about who you race with. And so, I mean, that whole deal was really, really cool. And then we went to the old ale house after that, and
see y'all close it down. Boo had the trophy on the bar. That's awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of people showed up there, and they was buying me beer and all kinds of stuff there too. So I'm really thankful that we had a hotel room Saturday night, because I probably would have just slept in my car, because there was no way I was driving home. It was cool, man.
Well, I tell you what, man. If you go ahead and grab your checkered flag this week in Orange County, I'll buy the beer for you. I'll come down there and have some beers with you and Boo. And before I let you go, though, I have to ask you, obviously, you know, Two Burrows and Seth Cohen, what's your favorite Two Burrows beer?
You know, to be honest, I keep drinking different ones. I couldn't tell you. I like the Oktoberfest. Okay. I had the Oktoberfest this past weekend. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. And then that was another one. I can't remember. This is terrible for me to not know a sponsor's name of beer, but
you're kind of Miller Lite guy.
Yeah, I'm more of a Miller Lite kind of guy. But I mean, honestly, after the second one, they all taste the same, so it's what it is. But yeah, I mean, I've been happy with them. Plus, they're the tall boys, so that's a plus.
When does Boo start? When does Boo have the conversation with Seth to get a Bobby McCarty can with the car on there? Because that's got to be in the works, right?
I really hope so. I'm telling you, man, like, that's going to be my aha moment. Like, I finally made it. My race car, my name is on the side of a beer. I'm good.
Okay. It's possible. It's possible. You know, Buddy Isles, who's running for Rookie of the Year, he's got a beer sponsor on his car as well, Timber Waters out of Littleton, and they are already in the process of potentially putting together a special beer with his Flying 11 on it, which I think would be super cool as well. So we just need to keep honing on Seth to get that in the works. I mean, Dylan Wilson's got his own beer, right? So there's no reason Bobby McCarty can't have his own beer.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to reach out to Seth, and we're gonna start brainstorming on my own beer here.
Well, Bobby, before I let you go, man, you do a really good job at this, but I want to give you an opportunity to thank some people that help you get to the racetrack each and every week. Especially this year, you've got some new partners. I want to give you an opportunity to share that with us.
Oh yeah, man. Definitely got to thank everybody at RNS Race Cars. I couldn't do it without those guys. We do have some new partners this year with Sterling Building Group and Black Acid Custom Racing Apparel. They both reached out kind of in the last inning there to help me be able to suit up this year and not watch the racetracks. I'm super thankful to both of them and everything they do for our program. Bilstein Shocks, Caswell Glass, DreamWorks, WG Speaks, Bryant Shock Technology, Sound Gear, and then just the whole RNS group, David West for the motors, Rob, Caleb, I spotted Brent, Marcus, Triplett, Gmo, all these guys, man. I mean, they bust your tails every weekend. And, yeah, I definitely want to give a big shout out to Rob. Rob stepped up this weekend. This is his first time being the crew chief. Triplett was in Disney. So Rob had to be a step in crew chief this weekend. And, it was really cool for his first time being a crew chief to get the win. And, I know it meant the world to him. And, you know, I thought that was really cool too. So, just all those guys, man, I couldn't do it without none of them. And, I'm super thankful to everybody for all their support and, Seth for the beer and, Boo and Aaron for all the stuff that they're doing. And, like I said, they're putting a ton of time and effort into all the video editing and all that stuff. So super thankful to them. And the content we're putting out is pretty cool, and we're having a good time with it. So just thankful to everybody for helping out and being a part of this deal. And, you know, hopefully we can keep winning races and give y'all something to watch throughout the year.
Well, Bobby, as always, man, I'll give you the opportunity to come back and chat with us next week. If you can grab that checkered flag at Orange County this weekend, best of luck to you and your RNS team this weekend in Orange County. And thanks again for jumping on the Stickered Up podcast.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it.
Brandon Willard has the caution flag out on this segment of the Stickered Up podcast. We'll take this opportunity to come down pit road. Sticker up. We return. We will preview this weekend's Orange Blossom 250 at Orange County Speedway. You're listening to the Stickered Up podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour.
GXS Wraps is your one stop for all your vehicle and motorsports graphics needs. Since 2018, GXS Wraps has offered turnkey solutions including design, printing, and installation of premium final graphics for fleet vehicles, personal vehicles, and race cars. 100% of our services offered are completed at our 4,800 square foot facility located in Apex, North Carolina. Check us out on the web, GXSWraps.com, or give us a call, 919-213-0371, to get started on your next wrap. GXS Wraps, the official graphics partner of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up podcast. Adam Zirkle, Performance Technologies, video overlays powered by Racetrace. Compare your driving line around the track against the best and see how you stack up against the competition. They get every lap, every car. Available at every Cars Tour event. Trackside IT services, and they can set up a network exclusive to your needs. At the racetrack, on race weekends. Contact Adam Zirkle, 434-222-8947. That's 434-222-8947.
Hey, this is Chad McCombie, driver of the number 16 Aaron's Ford in the Cars Late to the Mile Stock Tour. You're listening to the Stickered Up podcast.
White flag this edition of the Stickered Up podcast, the official podcast of the Z-Max Cars Tour presented by Sound Gear. We head to Orange County Speedway in Rougemont, North Carolina this Saturday night for the running of the Orange Blossom 250 presented by Folsom Fence Supply, GSX Wraps, and Geocut. Activities will start on Friday with late model stock car practice taking the racetrack at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. They'll alternate with the pro late models until 6:25, and then cars will be back at the racetrack on Saturday morning. Late model stock cars will hit the racetrack at 10:15 for their first of two practices on Saturday. They'll alternate with the pro late models until noon, then taking a look, have the Virginia Mini Cups, who will also be on the property. They'll hit the racetrack for their one practice at 1 o'clock. Grandstands open at 3 o'clock. Virginia Mini Cup qualifying goes off at 3:15. Single car qualifying for the late model stock cars will take off at 4 o'clock. Pro late models will follow at 4:30. And then the pro late models will be gridded on the front stretch. There's a fan fest this weekend at Orange County Speedway as well. That'll go from 5:15 to 6 o'clock. That will actually be behind the grandstand, not on the racetrack this weekend. Pre-race festivities will ceremonies start at 6:15. Driver inductions at 6:30. Pro late models will take the green flag at 7 o'clock. They'll go for 100 laps. The Virginia Mini Cups will be sandwiched in between. They'll run 25 laps, and then the late model stock cars will be the nightcap for 125 green flag laps. If you can't make it to Orange County Speedway this weekend, we encourage you to watch all the action on Flow Racing. General admission for this weekend's festivities, $27.50. If you get your advance tickets, they're $30 day of the event. General admission for military and seniors is $25. Children 6 to 12, 5, and children under 5 are free. Taking a quick look at the entry list from the home office in Mooresville, North Carolina, looking at 22 pro late models that are pre-entered in this weekend's festivities at Orange County. They include two-time winner Kyle Campbell, Jimmy Renfro Jr., Tristan McKee, Brandon Lopez, Justin Kreider, Ashton Higgins, Aiden King, Jessica Kahan, Jake Bowman, Spencer Davis, Caden Quapple, Nick Loden, Josh Horniman, Connor Jones, Jeff Batten, Caden Honeycutt, Tyler Tanner, Katie Hettinger, Logan Jones, Max Reeves, TJ McClare, and Dylan Gardner. Taking a look at the late model stock car entries. Again, 30 late model stock cars entered for this weekend's festivities. They include Deke McCaskill, 2023 Orange County track champion Terry Deese will make his Cars Tour debut this weekend. Ronnie Bassett Jr., Brendan Queen, Camden Gully, also an Orange County regular. He'll make his first Cars Tour start this weekend. Chase Burrow, Andrew Grady, Clay Jones, who also started the race at Southern National, he'll be making his second appearance in 2024. Brandon Pierce, Bobby McCarty, Carson Quapple, Buddy Isles Jr., Logan Clark, Chad McCombie, Caden Honeycutt, Connor Hall, Cade Brown, Connor Zilich, the winner at Hickory, Brett Cruz, Landon Huffman, Connor Jones, Bryce Applegate, Timothy Peters, Isabella Robusto, Lane Riggs will be back in a car for Kevin Harvick Racing this weekend at Orange County. Katie Hettinger, Ronald the Thrill Hill back in action for the first time in 2024. Traven Levovich, Minnie Tyrell, Jacob Hefner, and Cody Dempster. Actually, 31 cars on the entry list for this weekend at Orange County. And we've got three drivers that are going to be doing double duty, including Connor Jones, Katie Hettinger, and Caden Honeycutt. So it'll be an action-packed weekend this weekend at Orange County Speedway, and we'll recap all that action in next week's episode of the Stickered Up podcast. I want to take a moment to thank all of those people that help Stickered Up come to you each and every weekend, or each and every week. Our friends at Pereer Tank Lines, Geocut, Adam Zirkel Performance Technologies, GSX Wraps, and as always, Morgan Patrick here at Broadcasting Experts for making us sound so good each and every week. I want to thank our guest via the GSX Wraps hotline today, Mr. Bobby McCarty with R&S Race Cars. That's the checkered flag on this edition of the Stickered Up podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dunn.
Be sure to share this podcast. New episodes of Stickered Up will be available wherever you download your podcasts.